everyone, it's Allison here to announce that I have officially opened a relationship coaching business. That's right, I now am seeing individuals and couples for sessions where we work through our relationship issues, our thoughts around dating, how to better communicate with our partners, all with a real mental health focused framing. So if you're interested in booking a session or learning more, please go to my website, allisonraskin.com/coaching, or email me at raskincoaching@gmail.com.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's gut-certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Just between us.
Hey.
Just between us.
Hey.
Hello. I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and next week I get my first colonoscopy.
I'm Gabe Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, wink, and wow, we certainly are in our 30s.
Honestly, that's more like 40, 50s.
I was going to say, pretty early.
Yeah, but my doctor just wants to rule some things out.
I was going to be like, rule out what? That you don't like butt stuff?
Oh, no, leg cancer.
Jesus Christ.
And like, well, I don't know. She didn't actually explicitly say. But what I really appreciated from her was she was like, I don't want to just rely on what you've been diagnosed with before.
Yeah, I like that.
And she was like, let's, you know, I had an upper endoscopy in 2018. So I'm getting both. I'm getting a colonoscopy and an upper endoscopy. She was like, you know.
That's what I do every Friday night.
Okay. But anyway, I think it's a really wonderful point of view, right? Because I feel like a lot of times doctors will be like, well, this is what you have. It's like maybe something has changed or maybe you didn't catch something. And so I really like her curious approach instead of like, it's IBS. Have a good day.
I want to put that on a t-shirt. It's IBS. Have a good day. which you can, by the way, get our merch at justbetweenuspod@gmail.com or allisonraskinexposed.com. And the merch is really great and wonderful. And maybe one day there'll be a shirt that says it's IBS. Have a good day. In this, the most beautiful font you could ever imagine. Someone did, by the way, someone was like, oh, I wish you had this in black. And then Alex went onto the website and made it and said, okay, it's available in black now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He called himself merch boyfriend.
Yep. Seems right.
Good luck on your colonoscopy.
Thanks. I'm not worried about the procedure. I'm worried about the prep.
Again, what a Friday night for me
okay.
is like.
This is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice.
Ridiculous games.
And brutal honesty.
There's a different version of prep in the gay world.
I understand.
And also, you have to prep your butthole.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we're joking up here because we have an incredible interview. I'm really, really excited. We have Sarah from Mom Uncharted, and I am such a big fan of her work. Like, it's so important. I'm mainlined all her content, and I'm just, like, honored that she's going to be on the show.
Yeah, Gabe kind of loses it throughout the whole episode.
She's a superhero. She's protecting children everywhere.
Does she keep her last name private?
No. I was trying to respect her privacy because I know it's Sarah Adams, but I was trying to respect her privacy because I didn't know if she was a non on the internet because the trolls are coming for her.
Oh, no. Not the trolls.
Not the trolls. The trolls start coming and they don't stop coming. Rest in peace to Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth.
Oh my God. Okay. That's true. I feel very sad about that.
Right? Terrible.
And later... this intro has been, it's like, have we ever done this before? How does podcast work?
Yeah. What's wrong with the little loosey-goosey intro?
Okay, you're right. Later, we're going to be talking all about slow living, which Gabe didn't even know about because clearly we're on different sides of TikTok.
Also, I'm so sorry, but you did send me a link and I did not open it.
That's fine.
Okay.
But first, we have got... That's actually deeply hurtful. No.
Up next, we've got an exciting interview with our highly esteemed guest, Sarah Adams of Mom Uncharted. Stay tuned.
Just between us. Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, most controversial segment known to all of podcasting. Tough questions.
This week on the show, we have Sarah of Mom Uncharted. Sarah has been exploring the state of parental public oversharing, child exploitation, and minor safety on social media since the summer of 2021. I am also like your biggest fan.
You are too much. I can't even believe I have like fans. That's wild.
Well, honestly, like your work changed my entire perspective on family vlogging, on posting your child online. And like, just I unfollowed so many people once I realized what was happening and stuff that I felt was innocent. Like, so can you explain what your work is?
Yeah. So I essentially talk about parents sharing their children on social media, you know, images and information, whether that be just, you know, us regular folks or celebrities or influencers. And then it goes into the state of child exploitation. Think about, you know, family vlogging, as well as just general minor safety and the potential consequences and ramifications of all of this. Because again, like, we're the first generation of parents raising kids in a digital world, right? There's no handbook for this. We don't exactly know we don't know what we're doing. So I just thought that having these conversations is important. And I wasn't seeing anyone really have these conversations. So I thought, well, maybe I should like bring them up. And here I am.
Because you're a parent as well.
Yes, I have two children, both under the age of 5.
Wow.
And so you have a background in any of this, or were you always like, I'm not posting my kids online? And then like, how did you come to realize this was not good?
Yeah, that's a great question. So initially I became a mom in late 2017 and I was on social media kind of as a ghost follower, right? I followed a lot of like mommy influencers because I hadn't been a mom. What do I buy? What do I need? I thought maybe I would have a sense of community, right? And I didn't think this way at all. Things have rapidly changed in the past 5 years, but I digress. And so it felt normal and natural and everyone was doing it. And I wasn't personally sharing. When I had my first child, I shared an announcement of, I don't know, their hands or their feet or something. And then I kind of felt the pressure to like share more. Because I thought that's what you do. You have a baby. You share the baby on Instagram. Like, I need to do that. So I posted like maybe like 3 or 4 photos in the first few months and it never sat right. And I immediately removed them. And so they haven't had a digital presence since then. And when we entered into the pandemic and more of us went online and more moms are looking for community, I just started to feel very uncomfortable with the amount parents were sharing online, the amount of time they were spending, all these people trying to be influencers and family vloggers. And I just had this light bulb moment where I was like, I'm a stranger. Hold on. I'm a stranger. Why do I know this child was just diagnosed with diabetes? Or why am I seeing this child on their potty training journey or in a state of undress? Like, I'm a stranger, and it was like an awakening for me. And that's kind of what prompted me to start Mom Uncharted, to wonder, were other people feeling this? Were other people thinking these things?
Yeah, I mean, I've for a long time felt very uncomfortable with children being shared non-consensually online. And it's like, I'm surprised to hear you, Gabe, say that Sarah totally changed your mind, because I felt like we've thought that for a long time.
But I followed, like, if there was a kid that was fun or cute or like, I followed a lot of these kids and I had a friend who was a family vlogger. I just didn't, I guess I thought with like your sister who doesn't post, I thought, yeah, she's a private citizen. Like that makes sense. Mm. But like people who had presences, I didn't really have a problem with them posting. But then I realized I had a friend, like she wanted to become a mommy influencer. So she had to like start somewhere.
Yeah.
and she had posted a video of her kid, and the kid was literally saying, "Mommy, stop filming me." And she thought that was funny. And that was in like 2018. And I remember that sort of being like, ooh, to me. And then I just thought, well, this woman's trying to be a mommy vlogger. She's kind of pathetic. So I like put it out of my mind until I saw your content. And then I was like, oh my God. And stuff comes back from my own childhood. Like, yeah. You know, one thing that really hit me was you were, well, there's so many aspects to what you're talking about, but let's say like the one aspect that is embarrassing moments. Mm-hmm. So a child crying or a child having a medical diagnosis or a child doing something embarrassing and that being shared non-consensually by the parents as though it is funny or as though it is like, oh, this might help other parents if they see my kid constipated, for example. Yeah. That was like a big one. And it made me flash back to very small moments where like, you know, and I talk about this a lot and my mom is going to hate this, but like where my mom told her friend who I had a crush on and yeah. I like wanted to die.
Yeah, of course.
And like imagine doing that on like a large, like if my mom had been posting like videos of me constipated, of course I would have felt. So like, can you talk about that aspect of it? Like what people are not understanding about, let's say, this one particular lane. And then there's like four or five other lanes we got to get into.
Yeah. As it relates to like the tantrums, the meltdowns, the embarrassing moments, I find it interesting as parents that we all don't agree on like just that baseline, right? That like, I always think, would we want, you know, that meltdown with our partner, like, recorded and shared without our consent and things like this. And we're doing that regularly to our kids and like kind of mocking just their human emotions, their raw, authentic emotions, and using that as entertainment for strangers. And then we have no control over where those videos go, how long they go viral for, the comments and things like that. Because like, when you post something, you lose control of it. And it's really sad to think that we're just not all agreeing on like, hey, let's just not embarrass our and humiliate and degrade our children to millions and or billions of people online, right?
But they don't understand that this is embarrassing to the kid, or they don't like, there's something missing where like I watch your content and the responses and stuff. Like I think people have children and then they think that the child is an extension of them.
Yes.
I own this child's body. I own this child's choices. And they're like, cause the pushback you get, it's like, what are these people thinking?
Yeah. I think you're completely right. They don't view their children as autonomous human beings, right? They view them kind of as you said, an extension of themselves and or like their property. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people, soon to be parents, justify it like, well, I'm the mom and I make the decisions and they're my kid. And I'm like, yeah, my children are my children, but they are autonomous human beings worthy of privacy and dignity and respect and, you know, online safety and things like that. I can't speak to why there's this disconnect for so many because it's just not something I relate to, right?
And I feel like there's been a shift lately where like there's starting to be pushback about the families that are making money off of their kids.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's definitely like the conversation has trended upwards in the past few months. And I think it's only getting louder with the Eight Passengers saga and the Ruby Frankie situation. So last week, a very popular YouTube family channel, they had 2.5 million subscribers at their height. The mother was arrested for child abuse. And I think she has been charged with 6 felony counts. And it's a really tragic story for many reasons. But one is that like her abuse was caught on camera and shared a lot of it, withholding food, threats, and many people were already concerned. So there's this element of, wow, 2.5 million people were subscribed to this and watching this. they weren't presenting like the perfect ideal family anyway. There were a lot of questions, but like the thought about what was going on behind the scenes is haunting. So I think she was just in court today and I read a brief article. I think she's a monster and what she has said, she's kind of blaming the children in a way, but I'll let you go and read those articles. But that has definitely spiked the conversation over the past week about family vlogging and the exploitation of children online. Because again, these kids can't consent to any of this. And as quote unquote wholesome as some people like to think these family vlogging channels are, something can't be wholesome and exploitative at the same time.
Yeah, the kids are working. They're like on camera. The mom is like, do this, do that. You know, I've seen them being like, okay, drink from your little seltzer so we can get this brand deal or whatever. And like, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on with like child actors, but I feel like this is like the new realm. And also child actors, it's like they're acting in a scene.
Yes.
These are like their home life. They don't know any different. They think that this is normal for how a family should be. And they're like not used to having a life that isn't being filmed.
Exactly. And like, they have no safe spaces. Like their home isn't their safe space. Their bathroom half the time isn't their safe space. Their bedroom.
The parents might not, they're like making a cake. Suddenly the parent is smashing an egg on their head.
Exactly.
Like the parent can't be trusted.
No, it's really concerning. And are there similarities between child actors and internet child stars? Yeah, there are similarities, which is concerning because look at all the child actors who are speaking out about their experience. Specifically right now, Allison Stoner and Dear Hollywood. Oh my gosh, I can't get enough of it. Like, has another episode dropped. But it's horrible and heartbreaking what a lot of them have gone through as their parents push them into this life. And I always say that parents need to prioritize the privacy of their children over their need for online popularity. Like, if you want online popularity and fame, then you go get it. You go get it. Like, you know, don't use your kid as a prop for it.
Or they'll be like, well, you just posted something. It was like, well, my five-year-old wanted me to post the video. She liked it. She said we should post it.
It's
like, how do you respond to that?
The kid's choice. He loves it, right?
Right.
Well, I don't even know what these parents are thinking because, like, a kid has no knowledge. Like, my children love my phone and taking it and doing little videos and watching themselves play back. But that is very different than being posted on a public social media platform to be consumed by strangers worldwide to have, you know, images or videos altered, AI'd, comments, Reddit threads. Like, the list goes on about all the concerning things that can happen to these kids.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. Spring is all about fresh starts and growth. What better time to start learning a new language? With Rosetta Stone, you can make real progress in a way that feels natural and engaging. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, offering an immersive and effective approach that helps you absorb and retain a new language naturally, on desktop and mobile, whenever and wherever it fits your lifestyle. Looking to learn faster and retain longer? Rosetta Stone immerses you in your new language naturally, helping you think and communicate with confidence. There's no English translations, so you truly learn to speak, listen, and think in your chosen language. Plus, it will help you with perfect pronunciation. The built-in True Accent speech recognition technology provides real-time feedback, helping you sound more natural. It's like having a personal language coach guiding your accent every step of the way. And if you're thinking, this all sounds great, but I'm also looking for an incredible value, well, have I got news for you, because you can get a lifetime membership that gives you access to all 25 languages, so you can learn as many as you want, whenever you want. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Just Between Us listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
Hey y'all, have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure it out? You know, I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It also could be my hormones at play. And see, that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. All you have to do is answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you are in life. And you know what? The best part is after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz and I went through and I answered questions about my mood and how much sleeping I was getting and if I was having any mood swings or if I was feeling bloated or anything. And the results provided me with so much insight. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. So by taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz really helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer for your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code JustBetweenUs at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code JustBetweenUs for 15% off today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And we're back. Yeah, I want to move into the exploitation in a specific way, like the taking of the images and using them in like a child sexual abuse material way. Like, is that they're being very naive about this kind of thing? So can you explain like what is happening or what are the things that are happening that parents are like being naive about?
Yeah, sadly, the internet is just not a safe space for our children. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it will. It never was. And I don't think it ever will be. Right. And for me, like, that's OK. There's unsafe spaces in the physical world that we don't allow our kids to be. But some things that are happening, our images are taken and they are digitally altered into CSAM. So they are digitally altered with the advancements in AI. They can create some terrible things. I've seen some discussions on Discord threads. These people talk in graphic detail about what they would do or like to do to children. They write fan fiction, which, you know, fan fiction should be fiction, but sometimes they're taking real, you know, YouTube kids and making stories about them. There's a lot of scary and sad things that can happen. I was just tagged in a video about a 16-year-old girl being sold on the dark web by somebody in her church congregation, right?
What?
Yeah, there's a story going around that somebody, a member of the church, had access to a family's private Facebook because they're, you know, church members and, you know, but they don't really know this person, right? They're just a member of the church. And apparently this man was selling information about the 16-year-old girl on the dark web in regard to like where you can find her,
yep,
images and things like that. And to me, like, I'm floored. The things that can happen are truly unbelievable at this point.
In like a perfect world, how would a parent navigate this? I mean, is it like, don't post anything of yourself until you're 18? I can post like once a year if it's like, you know, first day of school. Like what is the line for you?
It's really hard because it is. I think a lot of people think that I look at this very black and white, and I recognize it's gray. There's a lot of gray for me. And my advice is always don't post publicly or privately. That's the best way to protect your child's right to privacy as well as keep them safe online, right? And if you feel the need to share with family and friends via social media, make sure that it is private and you curate your followers list so you really know and trust the people. Like, your follower list should be really little. A lot of times mm-hmm. people are like, well, I only share privately. And I'm like, you have 1,300 people. Mm-hmm. That's not private. And as it relates to like, you know, do you wait till they're 18 and whatnot? I'm not there yet. My kids are still very young, but based on the research right now and what is coming out as it relates to tweens, kids, teenagers, mental health issues, it seems like the best thing for their well-being and mental health is to not allow them access to social media until they are at least 16 years old.
Whoa, that's going to be an uphill battle for a lot of parents.
Yeah.
I feel two ways about that. I feel like right now, social media is everything. So right now, the parents who are dealing with, you know, the tweens and the teens, I do feel it's an uphill battle for them. But I feel like for my children's generation, you know, 8 and under, maybe we can all get on the same page, right? Maybe we can all agree that for this generation, we're all saying no smartphones until, you know, 13, no social media until 16. Because if we as parents collectively agree to that, well, then maybe it won't be so hard, right?
It would also be a change of mindset for the children or for the kids, because I think there was a generation that wanted that sort of thing. And now oftentimes, like, our followers can be young. And they're, if they have like their high school or whatever in their bio, their account is private usually. Yeah. Like there is a shift, I think, in young people realizing what you've been talking about and understanding that, you know, things are can get out away from them and are being a little bit more private with stuff. Like, I remember we were young. It was like, don't talk to anyone. Don't show a picture. Don't say anything. Then it became, post your real name, post where you live, post all this stuff. And now I think it's going back to actually let's be a little more private online from the perspective of the people that are under 18, at least from my anecdotal data.
I really hope that is the case. And it's interesting you mentioned that because I was just about to post the video. I received a message from a mom sharing a situation that her daughter, who's 20 years old, was asked out by a boy who's 23. And so she naturally tried to type him into social media, get a little backstory. And he has no social media. He's a private person. He doesn't want that. But guess who had a lengthy digital footprint of this child?
The mom.
The mom. So the girl was able to see so much of this potential date's life via his mom's social media, you know, likes, dislikes, awkward teen years, and things like that. And this mother was saying how bad she felt for this young boy who clearly wants to be private because he mm-hmm. isn't on social media, but his mom has made a really good large chunk of his life public. And she said, it made me immediately delete everything about my kids because mm-hmm. I don't want that happening to them. Right. So,
yeah. Well, Allison talked about the parents that are making money off their children. Mm-hmm. And so far we've been saying, oh, they don't know what could happen. Oh, they're naive, blah, blah, blah. But there is this other insidious thing that you speak about where it's parents posting their kids and making money off their kids and saying, oh, they're so cute. Oh, they're so whatever. and they're aware that the comments are from child abusers, and they're aware that what they're posting is something that could be used as CSAM, and they're doing it on purpose because they know it gets views.
Yeah. So I've explored this a lot on TikTok. I refer to them as like mummy ran accounts, and they are specifically involving young girls, usually between the ages of like 6 and 13 or something. And the moms are posting their girls in, you know, limited attire, lots of dance wear, cheer wear, in very flexible poses per se, selling subscriptions to exclusive content. And when you pull the data from a lot of those accounts, they have a very high demographic of adult males. And therefore, these parents know who is following their children. They can see that their analytics say 70% adult male. And some of them seem to cater their content to their demographic. And it really is heartbreaking for these little girls, because they feel they're influencers. They feel that they're models. They are getting attention online, and they don't actually know that they are being exploited and images of them are being sold to predatory people.
They don't know until they're older and they can see the comments. I mean, they get like finding out at, you know, 11 that like some one of your dad's friends is looking at you a certain way is a very jarring experience. But like to then go online as someone older and be like, wow, 45 dudes commented gross things on this picture of me. Like, they're going to be able to read.
Well, and on top of like that, for some of these people, like 45 adult male, my mother was allowing 45 adult males to subscribe to exclusive content of me. And I was made to make videos and have photo shoots to provide adult males pictures of me, a 12-year-old girl. And like, I've seen the Discord threads where they talk and they share these images. It's horrifying. It's horrifying to think about these young girls Googling their name later in life and thinking that they were social media famous when really their fame came from predatory eyes.
And I just don't see a way for these parents who are doing this to like suddenly wake up and stop. So is a way to like prevent this some laws around it? Like, do we need to like make it illegal for family vloggers to monetize their kids, or what's the path forward?
Well, there is a bill in Illinois that will go into effect in July 2024, and that is allowing some children of family bloggers to receive some financial compensation. But there's nothing against their privacy. Like, to me, it feels morally and ethically wrong to sell images of children in bathing suits to strangers online, but it also feels like it should be illegal. Like, shouldn't that be illegal to sell images of your children in limited clothing to strange adults online? I think there has to be laws to protect these kids, because the parents aren't protecting these kids. So as society, at some point we have to say like, okay, there has to be more. But again, with, you know, privacy and free speech and the way that children are looked at in terms of the law and what parents are able to like do with them, it's really hard to navigate, especially in America, right?
Yeah. Children's rights and stuff.
I mean, yeah.
There's also something where you know, and just offhand, you said, what if I just posted once a year, like, oh, it's first day of school. And I saw a video that you did, Sarah, that was like, okay, so now the person knows what grade they're in, what school they go to. They can come up to them and go to like meet them at school and be like, hey, your name's like Angela and you're in the fifth grade. I'm friends with your mom. Like, it's stuff you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah, I hear stories about that all the time. And trust me, these family vlogging channels with millions of followers and stuff, they have a lot of bizarre, crazy stories, but they're not going to share those publicly. right? They want to maintain the facade that this is safe and okay and no problem. But have some of them had people show up at schools and stuff? Definitely. 100%, right? It's very strange to think that a stranger could come up to a child in a playground and make that child feel that they know them because of what parents are sharing on social media. And yes, that's family bloggers and influencers, but those are everyday parents as well, right? Parents within communities and things like that who overshare information. Someone could walk up to a child and say, oh, well, you know, I used to work with your mom and I saw it was your birthday on the weekend and happy birthday. And, you know, she texted me recently and said, you know, that it's fine if I take you home, right? Like they know so much about these children that they can easily make themselves feel familiar to a child.
If you want to hear the rest of this episode, and let me tell you, you do, head over to patreon.com/justbetweenus. And for $3 a month, you can get access to all of our podcast episodes in full ad-free.
You can also get merch for this podcast at justbetweenuspod.com or allisonraskinexposed.com.
Okay, that's it. Tata la titu.
Tata la titu.
Hi, everyone. It's Allison here to announce that I have officially opened a relationship coaching business. That's right. I now am seeing individuals and couples for sessions where we work through our relationship issues, our thoughts around dating, how to better communicate with our partners, all with a real mental health focused framing. So if you're interested in booking a session or learning more, please go to my website, allisonraskin.com/coaching, or email me at raskincoaching@gmail.com.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.